This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Derby Day is almost here. Why not make your first bet your best bet? With First Bet, you can wager on Churchill Downs, Belmont Park, and tracks around the world all from your phone. Go to firstbet1stbet.com. Enter promo code VSIN200 for a $200 sign-up bonus. Don't miss out. Bet smarter on the Derby with firstbet.com.
JVT, have you decided what you're going to wear tomorrow in preparation for the Derby?
No, I'm going to go shopping after this and go see what I can find. Because here's the thing. This is why I like, obviously, I enjoyed my time with Matt Eumanns. But I would never be able to do something like that because Matt thinks making eggs and like eating broccoli are like girly, unmanly things. So God forbid I would ever show up in an outfit that had some, you know, regalness to it. So I am very much looking forward to going to the nearest JCPenney because I feel like that's probably a good spot to get some ridiculous clothes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Get that. Go to like a TJ Maxx, a Ross, something like that. That's what I need to do is like, I have to have a nice hat, like a big, huge hat. Maybe you can get a bow tie. We'll see what works out. But I definitely think that we should be dressed for the occasion. I land tomorrow morning pretty early. What time do these shops open?
Oh, I don't think the pen, as I call it, JCPenney, opens up until like 11.
Dang, Vegas is supposed to be a 24-hour town. What are we talking about? I'll have something. I'm not going to come in empty handed.
I am a little disappointed because I have such a massive dome that I don't think I'll be able to find a hat that will fit me. So that's going to be a little bit of a problem. I wear a size 8 fitted, and so there's not many hats that will fit this melon that I've got rocking.
That honestly could make the visual that much better. So
like a tiny
I'm kind
hat?
Of into it. Kind of. Yeah. I mean, especially it's like the complete opposite of that big, enormous hat thing that was making the rounds for the last couple of years. So it's just you're doing your own thing. You're paving your own path.
Well, I do. I guess I have to go like Kangol cap, right? That's the thing. I guess I can't go like top hat. I got to go like Kangol cap because I think that's what you wear.
What is a Kangol cap? Should I know what that is? What's that mean?
Yeah, you've seen it. Like I don't know what the reference is, but if I show you a Kangol cap, you would know exactly what it is. But it's like that hat that's got the brim that's like kind of buttoned down. You know what I'm talking about? Like all.
Oh,
like,
yes. Yeah, I just didn't know that there was
like
a word for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, my grandpa wore one of those every day of his life. I just didn't know that that was the name of it. I just called it.
I think that's a brand, and I just refer to it. The late, great Dave Koken would wear Kangol caps every single day. And he had a variety, much like Mr. Rogers had a variety of sweaters. Mr. Koken had a variety of different colored caps that he would wear, all Kangol brand. So maybe I'll have to go find one of those.
Yeah, I think you should. The more you know. We'll look at us upping our vocabulary here on Money Moves. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Let's get into, I think, an interesting conversation because we have so many elimination games that are coming up tonight. The first round is winding down with all of these games. Who are we going to see force a game 7? Are some of these just going to end like we saw a handful last night in the NBA and NHL? So let's start here in the NBA. Do or die of the Rockets, Pistons and Clippers. Rockets, by the way, pricing wise, down from +550 to +350 after the win last night, but still down 3-2 in the series. Pistons go from +380 to +310, down 3-2 to the Knicks. And the Clippers, +155 the price to come all the way back and beat the Nuggets. Is there one of these teams, and I know we've talked about the Pistons a handful of times, but one or potentially more of these teams that you think could come all the way back and win their respective series as a plus money dog?
Well, so I'll do if I can. Should I do the nerdy sports betting thing? Well, actually, the Clippers theoretically have the best chance because their odds are the highest amongst these three. Look, I think actually all three could pull this off and win their respective series. We've talked at length about the Pistons and the Clippers, but for the Rockets, Stormy, again, this is a team that has an inherent advantage with their size, with their ability to play their double bigs, which have given the Golden State Warriors at times throughout the series a lot of fits. It has given them a lot of issues. We talked about the ability to generate second chance opportunities. You know, we talked about the zigzag at the open of the show, the fact that these teams off a straight up loss are 20-10 ATS. In this series in particular, it's been a little bit tougher. Golden State, for example, remember when they won one of those games, that last game back at home, they ended up not covering as a 4-point favorite. And then they go and get smoked on the road by Houston. The Rockets have been a little bit more pesky than what this series result right now, down 3-2, would indicate. So I think that there's a pretty good shot, at the very least, if you're betting this Rockets plus 350 to win this series, you're sitting on that going into a game 7 back in Houston. I think there's a pretty good opportunity for that being the case, and there's worse positions to be in there, because as we know, right, they're going to be about 4-point favorites or so in that elimination game. One would think, I will note, I'm actually very excited to see if we get a game 7 in this series, because what you also might see is the market go, well, the Warriors are experienced, so let's make this 1.5 actually in a game 7. So I'm going to be very interested to see what the market's actually going to do if we get that game 7. That's neither here nor there, because we're not there yet. But I think that you can make a case for all three, but I think the Rockets are at least very intriguing, because they have given the Warriors a lot of big issues. And even go back really quickly to the last game they lost in Golden State, they only shot like 60% from the free throw line. If they actually hit their free throws, the end of that game potentially goes much differently if you're Houston. And I think they're in position to at least extend this back to a winner-take-all game 7 at home.
Yeah, I mean, the Rockets were a 2 seed for a reason, too. I think that there's more opportunity for these NBA dogs to potentially come back than some in the NHL. And I'm curious if you agree or not, but we've got the Senators who are trailing the Leafs down 3-2. We know the Leafs' history, struggling in closeout games, but they're significantly better than the Senators. They didn't do it on home ice. Now they got to go on the road, but they still have 2 more chances to close out that series. The Wild against the Golden Knights. I feel like the VGK have kind of found their stride a little bit. I think the Colorado Avalanche probably at plus 180, but as you just kind of joked about with the NBA, like plus 180, they based on that number, they're the the team that has the most likely chance against the Stars. And I think that they're the better team. That's why we bet them the other day. We of course lose that bet, but I think of the batch, and I guess the Kings here as well, plus 280 down 3-2 to the Oilers. I feel similarly about the Kings as you do the Clippers, that they're the better team in that series, yet they haven't shown it game after game and find themselves down. I think of this batch, maybe the Colorado Avalanche have the best opportunity to come back, but I don't even love that.
So I know we're going to talk to Nick Alberga coming up next, but I am curious your thoughts. How much is the pressure worth in this Senators Maple Leaf series? Like, they're what are we talking about? Senators, what, plus 320 right now. Yeah. You hear everything about this team, the history, all of this story. They're getting booed after losing one game in the series. This seems absolute, like, insanity considering how well they've played. But the pressure of history on this team's shoulders, what does that mean?
So I think it's massive. That's why I think genuinely they need to win the game today. And this will be a great conversation with Nick specifically, because he does work for, he co-hosts a show called Leafs Morning Take. He has lived in Toronto and covered the Leafs and been a fan of the team for years. But here are the numbers for you, JVT. 1-14 in potential series clinching games last 20 years. They are 0-7 the last 2 games on the power play. And according to our guy, Jonathan Davis, who does a great job breaking down all of the numbers for all of these NHL series, 0-30 on the power play since 2018 in closeout games.
Wow.
While I don't think Ottawa is there yet, I feel like the Leafs should win today and close that out. But I thought that last game too. And if this does go to game 7 back in Toronto, how tight will those guys be gripping the sticks? The energy that's in that building, if things don't go well early in a game 6 in Toronto, could get real weird real fast. And I, like I said, I think if they don't end the series on the road today, I think it would be better for them to end the series on the road versus at home because of the way that they are.
Yeah, because like I can see a scenario. We talked about this in the college football playoff. But remember when it was Ohio State, Tennessee, and it was like, you know, if they go 3-out, they're going to start to get booed by their home fans. Like an elimination game back at home where like they immediately go down 1-0, and then immediately the crowd immediately starts to turn on this group, I think would it be absolutely fascinating. But the other one I wanted to get your thoughts on too was Colorado and Dallas. There was a lot of steam on Colorado before this series started, getting this up to minus 160 in a near pick series. A lot of hockey people I spoke to, not you, were very high in Colorado, were flummoxed by the pick 'em price between these two. And now the Avalanche find themselves down 3-2. Obviously, like you said, highest probability on the board is the Avalanche. But I also think that there's a case to be made they were overvalued heading into the series, were they not?
I think potentially a little bit overvalued. But also, I don't think anybody thought that the Stars, without Jason Robinson, without Miro Heiskanen, were going to be able to play at this level. I mean, when you're losing two of your best players on the ice at any given moment, I understand why so many people liked Colorado in this series. The Stars have a 21-3 series record when leading a 3-2 series, best of 7. The Avs 2-15 when trailing 3-2. So historically for these franchises, the team that is up in this situation does close it out. And Colorado, just based on what I've seen recent history, I don't have the trust that I had in them coming into the series. This wasn't a series that I bet. I have bet the Stars, JVT, so many years. And then they crushed my soul that I just stayed off of them altogether this time around. I did not expect them to play as well as they have in this series. And I will also say real quickly, too, on the Golden Knights Wild set, because I will be on that game later tonight. Potentially game 7 as well coming up on Saturday. I think this is a really interesting matchup. The Wild believe, if you ask anyone around this franchise or that is watching this series from afar as a fan, they will say on the Minnesota side, this series is far from over. John Hines talked a lot about the belief that his team carries. But what would worry me is that Jack Eichel and Mark Stone have started to figure things out these last couple games. They tweaked the lines, and I know they have to tweak them again because Pavel Dorofeev wasn't out on the ice this morning. So the top line is going to be a little bit weird. William Karlsson, Jack Eichel, and Mark Stone all on a line together. I'm kind of excited about, though. And Filip Gustavsson, who was dealing with an illness last game, had to pull himself from the second period. How does he feel today? So I have some concerns for Minnesota to be able to come back. They have gotten out to good starts in their building, though, and the first goal, the team that scored the first goal in this series, every game has won. So will they get out to a hot start in Xcel Energy Center tonight?
It does seem like this is the series that mirrors the Clippers series the most, that the market does seem to have an unwavering confidence in Vegas as being the better team, even though the results haven't particularly been there.
Yeah, the even time, -166 tonight on the road to close it out. More NHL playoffs. The betting analyst and host of Leafs Morning Take, Nick Alberga, coming up next. Can Leafs Nation put the Senators to bed tonight so they don't have to have that hesitation game 7? We'll see.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Five games in the early MLB slate underway. We do have scores in two of them. Reds up 2-0 on the Cardinals in the top of the third with one out. Pirates leading the Cubs right now at home 1-0 as well in the top of three. We'll keep you updated on that the rest of the way. But we've also got a busy day of playoff action ahead tonight as we welcome you back to Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network, alongside Jonathan Von Tobel. Stormy Bonantoni with you. Round one on the road to the Stanley Cup continues tonight with four potential elimination games on tap. And if you are a Leafs fan or backer, probably shaking in your boots at the notion after getting shut out at home your first opportunity this postseason and being 1-14 in closeout games the last 20 years, our guest, Nick Alberga, who joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line, knows the pain all too well. Nick, how are we feeling about tonight? What are the vibes?
Stormy, thank you for reminding me of those grotesque numbers first and foremost. Surprisingly confident. I think Craig Berube's a different coach, but again, you're right. There is a lot of PTSD in Leafs Nation considering what's happened over the last 20 years, the last 10 years. So we'll see what happens tonight. If they blow this 3-0 lead, I'm going to be in a foul mood. I'll tell you guys that.
Have you guys out there ever thought, like, maybe stop bringing it up? You know what I mean? Like, maybe it's like a negative. Maybe it just keeps weighing on them. It's like a thing where you're like, careful, careful, careful. And the guy's going to drop it if you keep reminding him.
Yeah, and I guess that's part of the problem, I guess, in this country and in this market specifically, where every win and loss, people like are on the bandwagon, off the bandwagon. But sure, you're so right. I'm part of the issue. It's just crazy to me. Like, those are video game numbers. Like, even if you brought that up in a screenplay and somebody would call it out and be like, you know what, that's impossible. That plot doesn't make sense. So we're at that level with the Maple Leafs, but we'll see if they could take care of business tonight in game 6, guys.
So with that in mind, have you bet it? Because the latest line right now, the Senators at home are -120 favorites to win and push this series out another game. Total's 5.5.
Look, blind bet. And we always say bet with your head, not your heart. I truly feel like the Maple Leafs are ready to win this series. I do. I think for the most part, notwithstanding game 5, they've been really good. They've been dialed in. Craig Berube's done an excellent job. No lineup changes in this game. So with that in mind, I would take a look at the money line. And I actually played Leafs in regulation. They haven't had a decisive victory in this series since game 1 I think now is the moment. It's Willie Nylander's 29th birthday, so I would look at the anytime goal for Nylander in general. The core four, but Marner, Matthews, and Nylander specifically, for their standards, have been relatively quiet in the last couple games. It's time to pop off, and I'm looking at that. Those are the ingredients, the formula to get the job done tonight. So I like the Leafs on the road in Ottawa.
All right, what about, well, not out here, but where Stormy is, St. Paul, Minnesota? That's the name of the city, right? Taking on the Wild, the Vegas Golden Knights, they're $1.60 favorites to close this thing out. Do they, Nick?
Stormy, what's your location right now? Are you in a closet or...
I'm in a hotel room, and I picked a beautiful background. You get something on each wall. It's like a little dealer's choice out here. But yeah, hotel room.
I'm just giving you a hard time. I'm giving
Nobody
you a hard
Stormy
time,
in a Stormy, corner.
But good point. Looking forward to seeing you out there. Minnesota has given Vegas a fight for their life. But I do think, again, along the lines, it's closeout time, guys. We saw it last night with Washington. We saw with the Florida Panthers easily disposing of Tampa in five games. It's closeout time. I think Vegas recognize the situation. For everything we just talk about, the Maple Leafs can't get out of the first round. The one constant we know about the Vegas Golden Knights, when they make the playoffs, they tend to go far, usually to a conference final. So I like Vegas to close things out. Minnesota's put up a really good fight, but I think Vegas will sense the opportunity, the moment, and get the job done tonight, guys.
The Colorado Avalanche and Dallas Stars, this is a series that's been weird, and JBT and I were just talking about it, how much faith there was in Colorado that the Stars were done before the series even began, and now they find themselves down 3-2 in the set. How do you see tonight going?
Wild, right? I have to give Dallas a lot of credit. I was one of those people where I'm like, they have no shot, no Haskinen, no Robertson, no shot of winning that series. They've played excellent. And to me, it comes down to goaltending. Can Mackenzie Blackwood make a save? Ottinger is seemingly, you know, starting to heat up at the right and perfect time. And there's a reason why that number is the way it is. Like, there's no reason or point in betting on Colorado because everybody thinks they're going to win this game. But would I be shocked that Dallas pulls the upset? Probably not. But I, from the get-go, I looked at this series and said probably seven games. So I'm going to stick with that. I think the Avalanche take care of business. I think they win decisively in this game. I would back Nathan MacKinnon on any point prop. I think the Landeskog story has been incredible. And I think both these two teams are upper echelon teams. I think both have a bona fide shot at winning a Stanley Cup. But I do envision it going seven games here.
Nick, we're starting to see 6.5 pop up for that game. Would you look to the over? The market seems to be heading that direction.
Yeah, and that's likely because Colorado, a lot of people are seeing that pathway for the Avalanche to win the game, and that always seems to be the recipe for that team. They blow you out of the water offensively, so I'd probably take a peek at that 6.5 number for sure.
All right, Edmonton and LA. The Kings just can't do it, can they? I was so excited for them to finally be able to exercise these Edmonton first round demons. They win the first two games of the set, yet here we are again, and Edmonton wins three straight to now lead the series 3-2. Does it end tonight?
Stormy, it's so weird looking at this series. Like, full disclosure, I know I cover the Maple Leafs, but I stuck with my preseason pick to win the cup, and that's the Edmonton Oilers. And then I watched this series. I'm like, how the hell are they up 3-2 in this series? It should have been a sweep, to your point. Like, it really should have. But I feel like the turning point in this series was game four. Quinton Byfield couldn't clear the puck, and that's it. I mean, the series was 2-2, and then the Oilers go in a barn that's tough to win during the regular season. 9 losses on home ice for the Kings, and they win that game. And now you're back in front of your crowd at home. I think Edmonton wins this game. I really do. I think they have all the momentum. They're feeling good with Cal Pickard in there. And from the LA perspective, not to say they look defeated, but it is tough to come back after a game like that where you were decisively the better team. You can make the same argument for game three and you don't find a way to clear that puck and get the job done. Very testy Jim Hiller after that game, their head coach too. I think they're in one, and that's the unfortunate part about this thing. The Oilers, there's flaws on that roster, guys. There's no Ekholm. Their blue line isn't great. Guys aren't playing well up front, but they got the X factors, the ultimate X factors in Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, who, again, their fingerprints have been all over this series, and that's why I think the Oilers will win this series.
Looking ahead to tomorrow, we do have only one game on the schedule. And, Stormy, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the strategy for you was St. Louis last game and then again come back here back at home, should that be the case. And we've had a small flip of favorites, Nick. They opened up as small dogs. They are now minus 115.
Yeah, that's been a tough series to handicap. And I think a big story moving forward will be Mark Scheifele. Leaves the game last night, does not return, and they've played so physical on him. And the injuries are racking up for Winnipeg. I know they got Gabe Vilardi back, still no Nikolaj Ehlers. Ultimately, this is going to come down to Connor Hellebuck, who it's still remarkable to me how you go from Connor Hellebuck, who's about to win back-to-back Vezina trophies in the regular season, to the postseason where he's just a different guy. Like, he is literally one of the worst goaltenders when it comes to the Stanley Cup playoffs. That said, I thought he lifted last night. He was much better. They needed that effort. They got the job done. But yeah, I could see this series easily going seven games. I do expect a response from St. Louis. And you compliment that with the fact that Mark Scheifele, who knows what's going on with him. Again, very physical series. And I start to wonder where the offense is going to come from. And then you add to the fact of Hellebuck has been very up and down, as I just illustrated. So I like the Blues to battle back, force a game seven in Winnipeg here.
Yeah, love the Blues at home, won 14 straight on home ice, and we know the final scores of those last two at home. But because you mentioned that about Hellebuck, why is that? Like, why does that happen to him or even Andre Vasilevsky this postseason? These two guys who are stalwarts, who played outstanding, especially the back half of the regular season, what happened?
Such a volatile position. I mean, I wish I had the answer. I'd probably have a better job than I do right now, which I really enjoy. But like, even for example, like you guys saw it in Vegas, like Aiden Hill, with the duest of respect, came out of nowhere to lead Vegas to a Stanley Cup. But again, and I talk about it a lot covering the Maple Leafs on a daily basis, like, how does it make sense that Auston Matthews scored 69 goals in a regular season, you know, the most in like 30, 35 years, and then it gets to the playoffs and he's got two goals in his last 15 outings in the Stanley Cup playoffs? Ultimately, to me, it comes down to pressure. I think anybody who played sports growing up, whether it was a high level, low level, at some point in time, you felt pressure, whether it was like just a meaningless championship game when you were a kid. And some people deal with that differently. And that's what makes pro athletes. And that's what makes Derek Jeter, Derek Jeter, if you get what I'm saying. Like, you can rise to the occasion or you cannot. And that's the way I chalk it up. I think, you know, the moment's too big for some of these guys. And for Hellebuck, he's got to push through. Again, there's been so many examples where he just can't push through. And there's just so many different examples. Until you win, you're labeled as that loser. Ovechkin, Stamkos, the list goes on and on here.
Thanks for doing this, Nick. We appreciate you.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great day. Enjoy, okay? Take care.
Real quick for audience, if you want to bet smarter and not louder, check out the Sharp Play. Sharpplays.com is the spot. If you want to go, it's where real bettors are at. You can check out everything that they've got. Powerful AI tools. You're not guessing. You're getting ahead. Go to Sharpplays.com. Don't follow the crowd. Don't be a parrot. Lead it. Go to Sharpplays.com.
Yeah, really appreciate Nick Alberga joining us, NHL betting analyst, host of Leafs Morning Take. Make sure you also check out the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast and follow him on X at the Golden Muzzy. We'll be right back on Money Moves.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Am I supposed to talk?
I thought so.
Oh, okay. I apologize.
What's up, everybody?
I don't know what I'm supposed to do. This is what happens when people are far away. I apologize. It's my fault. I was reading something and maybe totally messed up.
You said that you had something you wanted to read to our audience. So that's
I didn't know that meant that I was like coming out of the break with it. I didn't know that. Oh. Okay.
Well, I got excited. We had news.
Okay. So yes, we do have news. I apologize. I would argue it's not my fault, but whatever. So we have our end of season conversations happening with the teams that have been eliminated. The Lakers had their farewell tour today. JJ Redick spoke from Dave McMenamin. During his end-of-season remarks, J.J. Redick, without naming names, says the roster must, quote, get in championship shape, end quote, during the offseason. I wonder who he could be talking about.
So we're all, he wouldn't be sliding Luka already.
Yes, he would.
Right?
He's absolutely talking about Luka Doncic. There's only one player on this roster that has issues when it comes to being in shape, unless he's, and this is, you know what, you're right. Maybe he is tripling down on the fact that I've got to be able to play my guys 48 minutes. Like, this is ridiculous.
So that's what I was going to say. It's like, maybe he's just mad that his guys can't play the entire second half in every single second and still be at their best in the final moments. Maybe that's what it has to do. But that sounds more like a you problem, JJ Redick, than it does anyone else.
Yeah, that could be. It could be the player that has notorious conditioning issues throughout the course of his career. Who's to say? Who's to say who it's about at this point right now? But I would say that Nico Collins is just sitting back and just going, okay, like, it's all you guys now. It's all you guys. We've talked about this. We didn't want any more fried cheese, hookah, and beer, and he won't do it. So you know what? It's your problem now. So we'll see if that's the case.
Genuinely, and that is something I wanted to ask you about. Like, that whole narrative came out as a much bigger deal than I think anybody thought it was. Yes, he's always had conditioning issues, but to the extent with which his former team was willing to get rid of him, I think a lot of people thought that was maybe overblown and just trying to find reasons for things more than actually believing it. You believe it, that it is that bad?
So here's what I think, and I think Zach Lowe put this really well. He just had a recent episode. He spoke about this. This was after their game 4 loss or something was. But, and I'll paraphrase what Lowe said, but essentially the concept of wanting to move off of Luka Doncic because you have concerns with the way he cares for his body and thus believe he will break down and you don't want to pay him that money, that in a vacuum makes sense. What doesn't make sense is what you shipped him off for, and what doesn't make sense is not calling every single team to then offload him for what potentially could have been a much better package and willingly shortening your window in that regard. So I don't think it's the craziest thing in the world to say, look, man, he has conditioning issues. We saw it again in this series. Stormy, there were many, many stretches throughout this series where he was yet again a turnstile on defense at the beginning of the series. He was not good. And that was a big reason why the Wolves were able to build the lead that they were. And then all of a sudden he started to try again when it came to the tail end of the series on defense. And some of that has to do with conditioning. So I don't think it's the craziest thing in the world to say, look, we don't want to be a part of this. You just have to go around the process a little bit differently. And I do think it is telling that after one postseason series, your head coach is already saying, like, yeah, some of us got to get in better shape. And it's not you, Bob. You know what I mean? Like, there's only another guy in the room. So this is just something worth monitoring because it has been something that has been part of Luka's career. And that is something we cannot deny.
Okay, well, while we're on the topic of the NBA, though, and before we get into a little bit more baseball, because I know there are a couple of games that we haven't touched on yet that you did have interest in, our wonderful producer today, Corey, went on VSiN.com and he found a handful of these props on the website in our prop analyzer that basically, according to our prop analyzer, it says these are the best props today. So I'm curious if you agree or disagree on any of them. Chris Braun, let's start there, over 10.5 points, minus 130. What are the feelings there? The prop analyzer says yes.
So I would say that on the big sample, it's always about big sample size and recent sample size. Large sample size data would tell you that Christian Braun is a dude that is very much worth playing over because he's regularly gone over this number. And for the course of the season, he has been great. But if you look at recent sample size, that has not been the case. I think it is 6 out of the last 7, he has gone under his point total prop. So it depends on matchup. It depends on what they're asking him to do, because that's part of the problem, I think, with this current matchup for Braun. He is asked to do a lot. He is arguably their best option as a perimeter defender. He has to take on James Harden pretty regularly, and that takes a lot out of you. I think you saw that actually with James Harden on the flip side. He was asked to guard Nikola Jokic in the last game, and that led to him being completely awful on offense throughout the remainder of that contest. So I think I would lean toward playing under with Christian Braun only because of what he is asked to do on defense. Would also say that this potentially is going to be a better defensive effort from the Los Angeles Clippers than what we saw in this last game. So maybe a little bit more hyper-focused on running guys off the three-point line and not allowing a guy like Braun to hit those shots. But at least in recent form, those numbers would tell you he's actually a play to the under, considering that he has gone under this. I think it's 6 out of the last 7.
6 out of the last 7, despite averaging 15.2 points per game. So the under on Braun, although it is interesting, though, the season sample size, according to the prop analyzer, $1,420 return on investment if you've been backing that. Another big ROI guy has been Josh Hart, and the prop analyzer says over 10.5 based on the season sample could be worthwhile. You are up $1,005 if you've been betting 100 on these guys each and every day. What do you think?
I think that they need him. I think it's going to be curious to see because he is also the other unhealthy guy, right? Is he fully healthy? Is he going to be able to contribute the way that you want him to? He has gone over each of the last two contests. In this series as a whole, he is 3-2 to the over when you're talking about his point total prop. So he has been very active. He has been a big part of what the Knicks have done. And we know what Tibbs likes to do. And there is a chance where instead of making adjustments, he goes full Tibbs and goes, Remember last year, Stormy, when he played Josh Hart like every minute for two straight games? There's a chance that maybe you get that too. Where Tibbs is like, nope, sorry, buddy, you're not checking out. We're going to go as hard as we possibly can here, and you're going to do this. So I think Hart over 10.5, I think is pretty interesting because you probably get that. And if I could, I think the other that's interesting is at the bottom of this list. Mikal Bridges over 2.5 assists. You saw in crunch time of the last game that they were letting Bridges run the offense and giving Brunson a little bit of respite on the bench. And they went to a lot of Mikal Bridges, like pick and rolls to Cat and letting him run the offense at the top. And I do wonder if maybe that is an adjustment that we see, that you put the ball in Bridges' hands a little bit more, allow him to try to create, and thus you get some more assist opportunities potentially if that is the case. So I'll be curious to see if that's an adjustment too, but that stuck out as well.
Okay, sounds good. That, again, prop analyzer over at VSiN.com right now. In addition to that, we've got all of the breakdowns for all of the series, regular day-to-day best bets. And JVT, we've also got that Kentucky Derby betting guide that's out right now for anybody that's interested.
Wow, I was really glad you brought this up. If you go to VSiN.com/subscribe and check this out now, it's absolutely tremendous, folks. The betting guide, I read through it already. I would highly recommend it to you and everybody else. Samich has some great articles in there, breakdowns of every single horse. The post-position breakdowns as well are absolutely brilliant. And you can get this all as part of an annual subscription, discounted, less than $200. Check it out, VSiN.com/subscribe. 2 extra months for free if you use the promo code PRO at VSiN.com/subscribe. And look at that last little bottom, little point, that bullet point right there. We're going to get there quick. The NFL betting guide, which comes out early in the summer than you might think. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Check out the deets.
Yeah, that's always the best part about being the subscriber and the full pro subscriber. In addition to, yes, we mentioned the articles, the betting splits, the best bets, all of that good stuff. But you get the betting guides included. And it's, I feel like everyone that we have that has been invested in a betting guide or been through this says that those are worth the subscription price in itself, just being able to get those. And yes, you said it, we've got the Kentucky Derby guide right now, the NFL betting guide before you know it. Last couple minutes, we dove pretty heavy into the...
I have something for you.
Go ahead.
I have a bit of VSiN trivia. Do you know what the first VSiN betting guide was?
The first ever VSiN betting guide. I'm assuming it's not the NFL based on how we have started here. I do not know. What would it be?
It was me writing our very first NBA betting guide. I believe it was the first year that Kawhi Leonard was a Los Angeles Clipper. I wrote our very first one. So how about that?
You're a day one. You're a day oneer.
That's right. Some would say this network was built on my shoulders, but I mean, who's to say?
Oh. Who said that?
I definitely do.
Okay, well, now we've only got a minute left. I was going to ask you if there's any more baseball that you liked on the slate this afternoon, but I guess we can get to that in our best bets next.
Yeah, I also have a couple of props that we can get to a little bit later involving that Clipper series, and we can revisit another player prop that I bet in the Pistons series too, because I think there's one of my favorite things about this, so we'll talk about it when we break them down. The adjustments throughout the series open up the doors for player prop opportunities. Guys see their roles get diminished or changed throughout the course of a series. Jackson Hayes is a good example of that, right? If you went out and you bet some of his unders yesterday, you made out like a bandit for the most part. But if you look at like the adjustments and the changing roles, if you're paying attention, you can find some pretty good opportunities. And that ties into what I think some of the props are for a couple of the games tonight.
Okay, that'll be good. Yeah, next segment, we're going to dive into those props, our best bets for the evening in general. Also, I am in St. Paul, Minnesota. I'll give a little bit of a preview for what's to come in the Vegas Golden Knights Minnesota Wild game later on this evening. And I'm not used to doing remote shows, JVT. I feel like as I'm looking at the screen and looking at the camera, I'm just constantly going cross-eyed. So I'm going to work on that, hopefully be better in the future. But I feel strange. Every time I see my reflection, I'm like, am I going a little off? Here, we'll see. Coming back, Money Moves, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and JVT looked at me cross-eyed as I said that. So there's that.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Wrapping up this Thursday edition of Money Moves, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM, Channel 158, alongside Jonathan Von Tobel, who's out there in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino, Stormy Bond and Tony with you, live in St. Paul, Minnesota, getting set for all things Minnesota Wild, Vegas Golden Knights, coming up 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern. I am very excited to be doing my first national playoff game tonight with Steve Levy and Ryan Callahan, and even though JVT, I'm obviously a part of the broadcast crew, so I can't make any picks on the game. I did think that it was interesting to see Vegas open a -150 road favorite in this spot. They're getting played to close out the series today to -165. Yet when you look at our bet splits page, the majority of tickets and everything are coming in on the home dog Wild. So what do you think about what we might have to come tonight?
I generally think Vegas is going to close this thing out. If you look at all the even strength metrics, they've completely outplayed Minnesota over the course of five games. When you look at it from shot share to expected goals through high danger chances, everything is in favor of the Golden Knights to a discernible edge. I've expressed to you the fact that I think that this team has been kind of playing with its food a little bit. It maybe seemed like this was a team that was like, we swept them in the regular season, we're going to be fine, and ultimately got popped in the mouth pretty early by a team that was fighting pretty hard. But I think that there was really no question Vegas is the better team in this series. I understand the market at least moving in favor of Vegas. I would expect them to close it out. I do hope they close it out, considering I've got a series play on them as well, and a futures ticket too to boot. So let's go VGK. Get this thing done.
I know we talked about it yesterday coming off of the previous game in Vegas, just the heartbreak that Minnesota fans must have felt. That arena for Vegas fans that were all around, you could feel just like the wind come out of those sails because Minnesota scores about 1:14 left to go. And ultimately that goal ends up getting called offside and we go to overtime. Vegas wins in overtime. And it's crazy how one moment can shift a series as much as it is, because you go from Minnesota winning the game in regulation and having an opportunity to close out Vegas on home ice to now Vegas is in that position and they are facing a goaltender. It looks like we're going to see Gustafson back out there, who's coming off of an illness. How good is he right now? I don't know. A couple other notes I found interesting. I mentioned earlier, no Pavel Dorofeev in this game. Bruce Cassidy did make that official today. That top line, super top line with William Karlsson, Jack Eichel, and Mark Stone will be interesting to see how that goes, especially considering how top line heavy the Wild do play. A couple notes, though, like I mentioned, that the first goal has been important in this series. First goal has won all five games so far. Minnesota does have more first period goals. They have scored at least one in the first period each game. The Golden Knights actually have allowed more first period goals this series than anybody in the NHL postseason with 8, and 6 of them have been 5-on-5. So if you were looking at some of those angles just with the first period, with the back and forth nature of this series so far, Wild to score in the first periods, -125, both teams to score, +190, both teams have scored in the first period, 4 of the 5 games. They're actually averaging 2.6 goals per game in the first. So first period over 1.5 could be interesting at -110. So just a few interesting angles for our instant gratification crowd if you like the first period.
So what changes because you're between the benches?
Oh, I'm scared. I've never been between the benches before. So I'm going to head on it. No, every time that I have ever done a game, I've been like in a VOM or a side area against the glass. I've never been in the open area between the benches. I'm really excited for it. I'm juiced. You're going to be able to hear and see things that you normally can't from any other spot, which is like the point of the role when you get to do it on the national level. But when I worked for the team, you have to have it separate. Like national has their area. The RSNs, each of their reporters have their own spots. So you don't get to be there. So hopefully no, sticks or puck to the face for your girl. I would prefer to walk out of there clean.
All right, I'm down. My favorite thing is I am not as storied a sideline reporter as you, but doing the few sidelines that I have, I enjoy watching players curse and scream at each other, things that you don't get to see when you're pretty far away. By the way, back-to-back solo shots for the Cubs. They have taken a 3-2 series lead. So Paul Skeens getting taken deep twice in consecutive at-bats, and they are now trailing 3-2.
Good note there for sure. Because you mentioned that, just a real quick aside before we get to our best bets, during COVID, when I was working as the team reporter for the Vegas Golden Knights, we did a game in San Jose where there were no fans in the stand or anything like that. And they even took the glass off behind where you're serving your penalties. And I just remember hearing Ryan Reeves and somebody go at it. And you could hear every single word that they were trash talking to each other because there's nobody there. You can just hear everything. It's unbelievable. That said, it is time for our best bets of the day presented by GBank, the official bank of VSIN. And remember, GBank is upping the ante for new GBank Visa Signature Card customers. You spend up to $1,000 your first 90 days from account opening. GBank's going to give you a $250 bonus. Apply now over at VSIN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions do apply, but you can get all of that information there. And there actually are a couple games in the NHL that I like real quickly, JVT. We mentioned the other day, should the Blues lose to the Jets, which they did, they were coming back on them in game six, minus 115, I still think is worthwhile. I have them plus 155 to win the series as well, but won those two games on home ice, outscoring the Jets 12-5 on a 14-game home win streak. And then I think potential value, as Nick Alberga mentioned, on Toronto tonight against the Senators to close it out on the road. Even money dogs for them, not going regulation because we've seen a couple of those games go to extra hockey, but as an even money price, I think could be worthwhile.
All right, I got a couple of things for you here. First off, we'll go to the Pistons series. Carl Anthony Towns, over 1.5 three-pointers made here in this series. I laid $125 with Kat to go over that number. I think that's a fair price. There's a couple of spots that are still hanging around that price for him to go over. Logic here is that you should probably see more Carl Anthony Towns. His usage rate has really dipped. In the postseason, it's under 20%. In the regular season, it was over 25%. This has been, I think, one of the big issues for this team, and you would assume that maybe you get a little bit more pick and pop, a little bit more usage. Some of the more threes are going to go down there, and just more attempts in general for Kat. So we're starting to see the market head in that direction, Stormy. I bet it at MGM, minus 125. It's upwards of minus 145, but looking at the screen, there's a couple of spots where you can still find that minus 125 out there or better. So Kat, over 1.5 three-pointers made. And the other one that I did not bring up to you that is worth talking about, I was texting with Mitch Moss about this. Let's go to Clippers and Nuggets. Chris Dunn, the starting guard for the Los Angeles Clippers, really a defensive dynamo. He's made his hay playing on that end. He's hit a couple of corner threes, actually had a pretty good scoring performance in a vacuum in the last game. But when you look at his minutes distribution, a lot of the minutes came in that fourth quarter when they were getting smoked. I actually think that there's a strong case to be made that Dunn's minutes are going to start to get cut into. We actually saw them dwindle before that blowout when Ty Lue put him in at the end of that game in the fourth quarter to just eat up some minutes and eat up some innings. I think Dunn, because he is kind of a black hole on offense and not giving you that much support, is really going to see his minutes get distributed to others, whether it is Derrick Jones Jr. or whatnot. So I think if you look at Dunn right now, points, rebounds, and assists, under 11.5 for him at about a minus 115 price or so, I think it's really failed price delay. I think we're going to start to see that adjustment. I think we're going to start to see his minutes get cut into, and they're going to go to somewhere else, and I don't think you're going to get that production. So under Chris Dunn, 11.5 points, rebounds, and assists tonight.
Okay, JVT, so when all is said and done in this Denver Clippers game tonight, I know what you think should happen with the Los Angeles Clippers, but do they live up to their capabilities and cover the spread today?
I will say, cover, I don't think so. I will say that I think we get a game seven, but I think it's hard to cover such a big number against the Nuggets team, which has just been playing really just consistent basketball and has been there and done that in really big spots. Now, it is worth pointing out one more time that the Nuggets were up 3-2 last year in a series with the Timberwolves and ended up losing that series to them. So I do think that it's not this, hey, lock it up, the Nuggets are going to win and move on. I do think we get a game seven out there in Denver, but I don't think the Clippers cover.
Okay. We've seen a slight line move to the under here. I didn't bet it, but I did lean under as well, down from 212.5 to 211.5. I believe, with the exception of the last game, all of the other games did go under the total. So I think there's just a little bit of an overreaction potentially to last game.
Yeah, and this has also been the second slowest series of the postseason so far. Like, this has been a half-court oriented, not a lot of guys running. I mean, look at their two best players, right? Kawhi Leonard and Nikola Jokic are not exactly guys that are flying up and down the floor in transition and playing above the rim for the most part. That's not how these guys are going to operate. Same thing with James Harden. We're averaging about 92 possessions per game, a little bit less than that, just ahead of the slowest series, which is was Boston and Orlando. So if you get a better defensive effort, you get the same pace at which you've been playing at, I can understand this game potentially going under.
So it sounds like what you're saying is they need to get in championship shape.
Much like Luka Doncic, they probably do need to. I don't know. You're going to be busy, so I'll send my hateful texts elsewhere later tonight when I don't want to bother you while you're between the benches and you get another life is meaningless text from me. So I'll send
it
to Kelly.
It'll be good reading for me when I'm back on the plane tomorrow morning. I'll just save it for then. Fun show though, buddy. I'll see you back in person tomorrow. Thanks everybody for hanging out with us today, but keep it locked right here on VSiN. Even though we are done, Prop Points is coming up after this. They'll get you set for both of the potential elimination games coming up in the NBA and of course four in the NHL. Lots of fun on deck. You won't want to miss it. Have a great day, everybody. Good luck with your bets.